Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is the Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome in, everybody. We're diving into insurance finances today.
Sounds exciting.
It is, especially when you look at companies like Travelers and how they performed this past quarter.
Right. And to do that, we're going to be breaking down their 10Q report.
And we're also going to take a look at their investor presentation as well. So get ready for a good one, folks.
Yeah, should be a good one. This will give us a chance to look at their overall strategy.
Yeah, exactly. And the challenges they're facing.
And what it could mean for the rest of the industry, too.
For sure. Okay, so let's jump right in. Travelers had a really impressive quarter. Their net income was a whopping $1.26 billion.
Whoa, that's a big jump from last year.
It really is. Remember, they reported $404 million in the same period last year. So that's a massive increase.
Huge. So what's behind this growth?
Well, a lot of it has to do with their investment income.
Yeah. Interest rates have been going up, right?
Exactly. True. And that's been a big boost for a lot of insurers, actually.
Makes sense. Yeah. They're heavily invested in fixed income stuff, right?
That's right. And their 10Q report highlights those investments. They've got a lot of fixed maturity investments.
Like what kind?
Mostly U.S. Treasury securities, it looks like.
Oh, so they're really benefiting from those rising rates then?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But there are some risks mentioned in the report, too.
Oh, like what?
Well, they talk about asbestos and environmental claims quite a bit.
Yeah. Those long-tail liabilities.
Exactly. And those can take forever to resolve.
A real headache for insurance companies.
Yeah, absolutely. They could be a huge financial challenge. So it's interesting. You know, they're doing really well now.
Right.
But these long-tail liabilities could be a big problem down the road.
Yeah, almost like a ticking time bomb.
A ticking time bomb, exactly.
So they need to find that balance.
Right.
Yeah. Strong returns today, but also got to prepare for those potential liabilities down the road.
Absolutely. And it seems like technology is a big part of how they're managing these risks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, their investor presentation highlights their focus on cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
And AI as well.
That's smart.
Right. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it.
Definitely. Investing in tech helps manage all kinds of risks.
For sure. And it could be especially helpful for things like cyber attacks and those environmental liabilities we were talking about earlier.
Right, right.
And you know what? They actually mentioned a recent acquisition in their 10Q.
Oh, really? What did they acquire?
They bought this company called Corvus Insurance Holdings.
Corvus. I've heard of them. Aren't they a cybersecurity company?
That's right. They specialize in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
So it seems like Travelers is taking a proactive approach to these emerging risks.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
For sure. Now, their financials look pretty strong overall.
Yeah.
But they do acknowledge that the global economy is kind of unpredictable right now.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Exactly. So how are they forecasting future performance with all this uncertainty?
Well, according to the 10Q, they're still expecting premium growth to continue, and they're also forecasting healthy investment income.
That's good.
Yeah. But of course, they also mentioned some potential headwinds.
Oh, like what?
Well, things like volatile interest rates, for one.
Yeah, those could definitely cause problems.
And then there are those emerging risks we talked about. Always a wild card.
Right. So it sounds like they're cautiously optimistic.
I think that's a fair assessment. They're confident they can navigate the challenges ahead.
That's good.
But they're also realistic about the uncertainties. Ooh. Nobody has a crystal ball, right?
Sure enough. So they're basically sailing in uncharted waters.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. They're ready for smooth sailing, but they're also prepared for those storms that might pop up.
Exactly. And speaking of navigating challenges, let's take a closer look at how Travelers is managing those investments of theirs. The 10Q really breaks it all down for us.
Okay, let's dive in.
Yeah. What stands out to you?
Well, I'm impressed by how diversified their portfolio is.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that.
They're not putting all their eggs in one basket, which is smart. They've got investments spread across U.S. treasuries, corporate bonds, mortgage-backed securities. They even have some foreign government debt in there.
Wow, so they're really spreading the risk around.
Absolutely. It's a good way to mitigate risk in this kind of volatile market.
Makes sense. Now, I also noticed they have some investments in private equity.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hedge funds, too.
Interesting.
Even some real estate partnerships. It's a pretty diverse portfolio.
Very diverse. Though I did see they mentioned some unrealized losses.
Oh, right. Mostly on those fixed income securities, right?
Mm-hmm. Seems like those rising interest rates have had an impact.
Yeah. Should we be concerned about those losses?
I don't think so, at least not yet. Travelers emphasized that they're temporary.
Okay.
And they said it's mainly due to market fluctuations, not credit impairments.
So they're not worried about the quality of the investments themselves?
Not really. They're planning to hold many of these investments to maturity anyway.
So that current market dip isn't a major issue for them.
Exactly. They're in it for the long haul. It's all about the long game for Travelers.
Makes sense. They're focused on the long-term value, not those short-term ups and downs.
Right.
And that seems to reflect their overall strategy, too.
Right.
Balancing current performance with future stability.
Exactly. And that's where their investment strategy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They want to generate returns, of course.
Right.
But they also want to preserve capital
mm-hmm.
and manage risk for the long term. It's all connected.
Sucks all ties together.
Yeah. It's a lot for any company to handle.
For sure. But that's just the insurance business, I guess.
Mm.
Always assessing and managing risk, you know?
Absolutely. And that makes me think we should probably look at their balance sheet.
Okay. Good idea.
Yeah. It gives us a good picture of their overall financial health.
Right.
So their 10-Q shows total assets of $134.59 billion. That's a lot.
Yeah, they've got some serious financial firepower.
They do. But how much debt are they carrying? That's the question. Good question. Let's see. Okay, their total debt is $8.03 billion.
Hmm. Okay. And what does that translate to in terms of like a ratio or something?
Yeah, good point. Their debt to total capital ratio is 22.5%.
Okay. So for every dollar of capital, they have 22.5 cents of debt.
Exactly.
So they're not drowning in debt, which is a good sign.
Definitely a good sign.
But is that ratio, is that like a healthy number? How does it compare to others in the industry?
It's actually a bit below the average for property and casualty insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which suggests that Travelers is taking a pretty conservative approach to debt financing.
Interesting.
Yeah, could be a good indicator of financial stability.
That's reassuring. Okay, so we've looked at assets and debt. What about their equity?
Right. Let's see. Their shareholders' equity is $27.70 billion, according to the 10-Q.
Okay. What does that tell us?
Well, shareholders' equity is basically the leftover value of assets after you subtract liabilities.
Okay.
So a strong equity position means they have a good cushion against potential losses.
Makes sense.
And it also reflects the value that belongs to the shareholders.
Right, right. So a higher equity number generally means they're in a better spot.
Yeah, exactly. And the 10-Q really goes into detail about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They break down all the components of equity, like common stock, retained earnings, even accumulated other comprehensive loss. It's pretty comprehensive.
Wow, that is comprehensive.
And you know, if you really want to dig deep, they even break down the cost of treasury stock.
Okay.
Which is basically the shares the company has repurchased from the market.
Mm. Why would they do that?
It can give you some insight into their capital allocation strategy, how they decide to use their money.
So they're being very transparent.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. They're laying all their cards on the table, giving us a clear picture of their financial position.
I like it. Transparency is always good.
Yeah.
And speaking of transparency, they also break down their revenue by different segments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They show how each part of the business contributes to the overall picture.
Hmm. That's helpful for investors, right? To see where the money's coming from.
Absolutely. So they have three main segments, it looks like.
Yeah.
Business insurance, bond and specialty insurance, and personal insurance.
Makes sense.
And each segment makes money from premiums, net investment income, and some other sources too.
Okay. So how do those segments compare to each other?
Well, it's interesting. They actually perform quite differently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For example, business insurance. They made $698 million in segment income just this past quarter.
Wow. Okay.
But then bond and specialty insurance, they contributed $222 million.
Okay.
And then personal insurance brought in $384 million.
So some pretty big differences there.
Yeah, for sure.
But hey, that's why diversification is so important, right?
Totally.
If one segment isn't doing well, the others can help balance things out.
Spreads the risk.
Yeah. And that's why Travelers has been so financially resilient.
For sure. Now, let's go back to those strategic initiatives for a second.
Okay.
Specifically, their focus on technology and cybersecurity. Remember their acquisition of Corvus Insurance Holdings?
Oh, yeah. Seems like that move is really paying off.
It does, doesn't it? It's a great example of how they're adapting to those emerging risks.
For sure. And finding growth opportunities in new markets, too.
Absolutely. And Corvus, they specialize in using AI to assess cyber risks.
Right. That's a huge need for businesses these days.
Yeah, no kidding. Cyber attacks are becoming more and more common. And they're getting more sophisticated all the time.
Definitely. Makes cyber insurance a hot commodity.
That's right. And Travelers is putting themselves in a great position to be a leader in that space.
Smart move. But how does it all fit into their bigger strategy?
It's all about tech and innovation for them. By bringing in Corvus's expertise, they're boosting their ability to manage cyber risks.
Makes sense.
And they can create more comprehensive cyber insurance products too.
Right.
Plus, it lets them tap into a brand new market with huge growth potential. It's a win-win.
Definitely a win-win. So they're not just reacting to changes. They're out there shaking the future of insurance.
Exactly. They're anticipating what their customers will need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're adapting their offerings to meet those needs.
Yeah, you gotta be forward-thinking in today's world. Things are changing so fast.
They really are. And that's what makes Travelers a leader in the industry. It's really impressive to see how they're handling all of this, thinking about the challenges and the opportunities all at the same time.
Definitely. They've got a lot on their plate.
They do.
Mm.
But what does it all mean for their, overall financial outlook?
Well, the 10Q gives us some clues about their projections for the next year.
Okay.
And they seem to think premium growth will continue.
Okay. And what's driving that?
A couple things, actually. They mentioned rate increases.
Ah, yeah. Makes sense.
And also expansion into those new markets.
Like cybersecurity.
Exactly.
That's exciting. But are they worried about anything?
Well, they did mention some potential headwinds.
Oh, right. Like what?
Inflation, for one. They think it could impact claims costs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're also keeping an eye on interest rates. They could get even more volatile.
Right. And the global economy in general is still a bit shaky.
Yeah. Nobody knows what's going to happen next.
So I guess it's a mix of good and bad news.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. They're optimistic, but cautious.
Yeah. Which seems pretty smart, given all the uncertainty.
Totally. They're not ignoring the challenges, but they seem confident they can deal with them.
And I think that confidence comes from, their financial strength.
Yeah, they've got a really solid foundation.
Right. And their business model is so diverse. Plus, they're investing in the right areas, like technology and innovation.
Exactly. It's been really interesting taking this deep dive with you. We've learned a lot about how a major insurance company actually works.
That has been fascinating. We saw how Travelers is balancing, strong performance with careful risk management.
Right. And we got a glimpse of how they're adapting to all these changes happening around the world.
Exactly. And for our listeners out there, I hope you see that these financial reports are more than just a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, they really tell a story.
It's like a story about a company's strategy, its challenges, and its vision for the future.
Absolutely. And understanding how companies like Travelers operate can give you insights into the whole insurance industry.
And even the broader economy, too.
Right. And these insights, they can help you make better financial decisions.
Whether you're an investor or just someone who wants to understand the world better.
That's what it's all about.
So that's it for our deep dive today. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And keep exploring these topics on your own.
Yeah, ask questions.
And keep digging deeper. The more you learn, the better prepared you'll be for whatever comes next.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening. This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.